We're going to start with the set-aside prayer. I'm Michael, alcoholic. God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your truth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy on me. Help us to glorify you by carrying your message today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm doing something new. First time, I'm going to go through the 12 steps in the 12 and 12, 12 steps and 12 traditions. Through the years, I've stuck mainly to the big book and the steps we took by Joe from the Joe and Charlie and carried this message. I've covered Drop the Rock, which is a fantastic book about steps 6 and 7. And I've done some of the 12 and 12, but not in order. And I think after 1,600 meetings or 1,900 meetings of the big book, maybe it's time to do the 12 and 12. So, and I've learned a lot from it. My only thoughts on the 12 and 12, and I'll share a little bit. This is kind of an introduction. If you open the book and it has the blank page, and the blank page is to remind us that we're to leave everything we think I know behind when we study any spiritual. So we let go of our old ideas. And then it says it's published by Alcoholics Anonymous World Services Incorporated. And they hold the copyright. It was first published in 1952. Now AA was founded in 1935. So this was written 17 years later. And the textbook of Alcoholics Anonymous that has the instructions and the program of recovery is called the book Alcoholics Anonymous. When I came in quite a few years ago, the 12 steps and 12 traditions is what people used to work the steps. And they would have 12 and 12 meetings. And that was great, but I'm going to show you how that's not the textbook. It's not designed to be the textbook. And the big book has now had a resurgence over the last years, and throughout the whole country. But I think, you know, we started this meeting in 2008. And I think, you know, I was a cancer doctor, and I didn't practice cancer medicine right out of medical school. I had to do 3 years of internal medicine residency. This was in the 70s. Worked 100 hours a week. It was like Sane Elsewhere, if anybody remembers that show. That was, and then after that, I got my internal medicine boards, and then I had to do 3 more years of training to do cancer and diseases of the blood. And then I practiced. And I think the textbook of AA is how you get your medical degree and how you get your internal medicine, and the fellowship training is the 12 and 12. You'll get a lot more out of the 12 and 12 if you studied the big book. I don't know if that makes sense, because this is written by somebody who's worked the steps and been in the program for 17 years. And it's written by one man. It's not written by a group. And the book was written in 1952 or 3 because they had lost the copyright on another book, and they had the traditions approved. And it was very important that we have something written about the 12 traditions. And the 12 traditions, as we'll see, is why we're all still here today and we're not having all the craziness that they had. Can you imagine alcoholics each running their own meeting, deciding who could come and what you do and this and that, and they had all these rules for who could membership. And the traditions, when they were approved, I believe in 1950, maybe 51, really, really helped bring this together, and they were they're very, very, very powerful. And they decided that when they were going to write something, Bill W. was going to write something about the traditions, they put something about the steps. And then it would be easier, people would buy it, and they'd read it. And so he wrote these essays, and he wrote them at Stepping Stones in New York, where he and Lois lived. And he wrote these essays on the steps. And it says on the second page, this is AA General Service Conference approved literature. Now you hear that expression a lot, and I wrote a thought on it on the site, Experience the Big Book. Conference approved literature doesn't mean that if you're reading something else at AA meeting, that's no good. Because remember, at the first AA meeting, they read the Bible. Has anybody heard of the Bible? And it wasn't conference-approved literature because they didn't have a conference. And AA conference-approved literature means that they can sell it. It's published by AA World of Services. So they use the term conference-approved. It's not in the big book anymore because the big book has, they lost their copyright. And so it doesn't mean you can't read something else. If you remember the big book, it says like on page 85, it says, remember to seek out people who of other religions and other, we don't know everything, and take what they have and be willing to learn from it. And so you can really read anything in an AA meeting. There's no rules in AA. It's in the traditions that doesn't say what you can read and not read. And we'll look at the traditions too. And if you look at the page 5, which I didn't copy, but they have on the each step, he has a little very nice little summary of the step. And here he says, who cares to admit complete defeat? Admission of powerlessness is the first step in liberation. Think of that. And we talk about you have to surrender to win, you have to give up, you have to be defeated to be free. If you're not willing to give up the bondage itself, it's never going to go away. And then he says, relation of humility to sobriety, which he's going to talk about. So you can see this is a lot different. Why must every AA hit bottom? This is a lot different than the big book, and we're going to look at that tonight, some of step one. The big book spends doctor's opinion and 43 pages on step one. And they spend a lot of time talking about loss of choice, loss of control, spiritual illness, what is the solution. Bill's story is a story of hope. It's a message of somebody who had this disease, what happened to him, and then how he changed. And so, and the doctor's opinion is how we learn what makes us an alcoholic. So if you read this, and you're going to see, when you read this, and it's very good, you're not going to be able to say, well, I'm an alcoholic because this is why I'm an alcoholic. This is more about complete defeat in this first step here. And it's a nice, beautiful essay. And so let's go to the foreword. And there's an introduction to this one. The book I have is in 2006, but it says it was published in 1953. And they wrote the book to share 18 years of collective experience within the fellowship on how we recover and how the society functions. And in the foreword to this book, it says, Alcoholics Anonymous is a worldwide fellowship of more than 100,000 alcoholic men and women. And that was in 1952. So things have really changed, right? Till we moved here, we used to have as many people in a Wednesday night meeting as was probably sober when they wrote the book. There are only like 50, 60 people sober. They said 100, but you know we're alcoholics, right? You know, we kind of, we guess, you know. Like they ask you how many beers you had. You remember that? Oh, I just had two. Yeah. Who are banded together. Notice the word, we're banded together to solve our common problems. So we're here to band together, and we become a fellowship of people seeking God to help fellow sufferers in recovery from the baffling malady, alcoholism. And this book deals with the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, and it presents an explicit view of the principles by which AA members recover and by which the society functions. So it's a view versus specific directions. Remember in the introduction to the textbook, Alcoholics Anonymous, it says, we had a seemingly hopeless mind, condition of mind and body. We have recovered. We are writing the explicit directions on how we recovered. And so it's a whole different view. That's the only thing, and people need to realize that. And most people, when they start a 12 and 12 meeting, they don't know differently. They're new or something. Somebody's never been exposed. And the reason people like the 12 steps to study the steps out of is because each step is numbered. There's a chapter. Whereas if you go to the big book, they don't have a chapter. Step one. They don't have a chapter. And you're alcoholics, we need, we're not that. We're complicated people. So, and we're busy. So we don't have time to kind of figure out where step one starts. So, God, I'm in a mood tonight. AA, stop, don't laugh. And it says, this is a very good line. AA's 12 steps are a group of principles, spiritual in their nature, which, notice the if, practices a way of life, can expel the obsession to drink, and enable the sufferer to become happily and usefully whole. Now that's beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? There's some beautiful language in this book. There's some very, very, very powerful statements. It's a group of principles. The principles are the steps. It's the spiritual way of life. It's the characteristics of God. I gave Kim one of our cards that's on the site. The characteristics of a self-centered person, the characteristics of God. All we're trying to do in AA, it's not very complicated, is practice God's personality and not a self-centered personality. And if we start practicing God's personality, our life gets better. And then guess what? If we practice God's personality, we're not angry and unhappy all the time and self-pity, and we don't need to drink. And then we learn to go to God instead of alcohol. Which works better? Anybody want to tell me alcohol works better or drugs? No. Nobody comes back and say, boy, that worked great. Give me another month. No. And so you have to practice, though, these principles. And it's a spiritual program. Remember, it says in the big book that we have an illness that only a spiritual experience can conquer. It has to be from God. We have to practice the principles of God in our life. And then we're not thinking about drinking all the time. It's expelled. It's removed from your thinking. And then if you're not drinking, you can be happily and usefully whole. And what is our primary purpose in AA? Remember it says on page 77, our real purpose is to maximally fit ourselves spiritually to serve God and others. That's what it's all about. Because when you're serving God and others, you're not serving yourself. And then you end up serving yourself because your life gets better. And then people react to you better, right? And then things work out. And you say, wow, this is better. And so, and then the traditions apply to the life of the fellowship itself. They outline the means by which AA members maintain its unity. We need to stay together and relate itself to the world about it, the way it lives and grows. It's not rules, these are traditions. Now you'll go to meetings and you'll hear somebody tell you, you can't do this, right? You can't do it. Well, that's not an AA. Can't do this is not in the big book or in this book. That's someone's opinion and they've set up a rule. You might say, you want to think about that before you do it, or what are you trying to accomplish or something, you get it? But we used to have rules, there were meetings. I remember Grady, I'm looking at him, somebody told him he couldn't chair a meeting because he wasn't here, didn't have 6 months, remember? And the lady told him was very authoritative, and she was telling me a lot of things too. I brought a book in, Drop the Rock, she told me you can't read that here because that's not AA approved. And so I really liked her, she was sweet. So, but Dr. Bob was sober how long when he went to Bill Dodson? 3 days. How long was Ebby Thatcher sober when he went to Bill W? So you can't set up rules. Have you ever heard you can't have a relationship the first year? Have you ever heard that? Well, what about step three? You're supposed to surrender your life and will over the care of God. You have to start your relationship with God. Now, that's probably, for some people, they should never have another relationship. But And some can have them sooner. There's no rules, but you have to. The only thing I tell people I work with is make sure you've done your four step and you've done your relationship sex inventory before you start trying to get new relationships so you can have your sane and sex ideal. That's all. Work the steps and then do anything because you'll have God working in your life. And the traditions, though the essays, notice the essays which follow were written mainly, and they're not directions, they're just essays, and they're very good. And it's very good reading. It is, and it's helped me a lot. There are things in here that have helped me a lot. It is thought by many of AA's friends that these pieces might arouse interest and find application out of AA itself, and that's true. How many groups are there today? And I had a dealing in the church with someone who I thought really needed a four-step. But he's not in AA, and I didn't say anything, but he was very angry and sent an email to all these people, and I said, wow, probably shouldn't have done that. You know, he needed a sponsor. And so these things will work for everybody. Every human being needs it. The world right now, this is May of 2022, is a mess. It's just a mess. Things have been disrupted, food supply chain. People aren't going to be able to get wheat because all the wheat in Ukraine's been destroyed. World's a mess. And it says, many people report as a result of the practice of AA's 12 steps, they have been able to meet other difficulties in life. Is there really anything in life that you can't meet with God? It says, remember, if you stay close to Him and let Him show what He can do through you, you can handle calamity with serenity, remember? Page 68. That they think that the 12 steps can mean more than sobriety for problem drinkers. And we talked about that. We talk about it a lot here. We're not interested in physical sober. We want to be physically sober. But we want to be emotional sobriety. We want to have peace. We want to have better relationships. We don't want to be in conflict with everybody and everything, right? And if Sandy Beach said, if your life isn't getting better, you might as well drink. And emotional sobriety is the deal. And so, and they see in the steps a way of happy and effective living for many alcoholic or not. I see a lot of people come in here, they're having marital issues. If both parties work the steps together, their lives really improve. If they don't, they still have they're still bringing their own baggage into the relationship each day. And I'd say practicing these principles in all our affairs will help anyone. And they're talking about rising interest in the 12 traditions. The traditions are great. We read the short form at the meetings, but the long form is really powerful, and I think we'll go through those here as well. Is that okay? Good, good. Why is it, here's a good one, that in AA no member can set in personal authority over another? Now, we know that that does try to happen, right? But we don't have, what's the highest office in AA? Trusted servant. Think about it. And who's our authority? God. And they say, how can a traditional principles having no legal force at all hold the fellowship together in unity effectiveness? And it does because we're desperate people and we're in a fellowship of the Spirit. Remember, we're trying to seek God together and we don't want anything to come between us and God, our individual personalities. Then they talk about AA was begun in 1935 in Akron, Ohio, between Bob Smith and Dr. And Bill W. They had severe cases of alcoholism, it says. So what's a severe case of alcoholism? What are they talking about? I think any case of alcoholism is severe. Severe means that these people had practiced alcoholism for a long time, and their bodies and their minds were really getting worn down, and they were beginning to lose everything. Confidence in themselves. They were at the line. And so he's going to talk tonight, we probably won't get to it, about what hitting low or high bottom means, and I'll go into that. But severe, every case is severe. It's just the question is, like, we had somebody celebrate 5 years. What about if they'd stopped 10 years ago? Wouldn't things have been better? But the severe case is the disease just goes on. And so whenever you stop, that's severe enough, right? But a lot of people don't stop and they go on to die and they never recover. And so I think they're all severe. But they had people, when 1935, people didn't have any money, we had the Depression, and the people who were coming to AA were homeless. They had no jobs, they lived on the street, they lived in shanty towns, they were in asylums. It was a bad time in our country, and the alcoholism, the people that they got into AA were at what we would call at the end of the line. And even then, it was hard to get anybody to want to do this, even though their situation, their circumstances were so severe. In the first 3 years, they got, what, 8 people sober or 12 people sober in the first couple years. And he says the principles were borrowed really from everywhere else. And the Oxford group. The Oxford group had 6 steps. And the Oxford group was based on the Wesley groups. And Wesley is, you know, founded the Methodist Church, but he was an Oxford Greek professor. And he started the religious practice of meeting in small groups, and they would pray and they would meditate on scripture, and they would grow in together in their faith. And so the Oxford group was based on the Wesley groups, because Oxford, England is where they were from, and they were from Oxford. And then they talked about there were 3 groups, one in Akron, one in New York, and one in Cleveland. The Cleveland group took the name Alcoholics Anonymous from the book. And they started about 1938 or 39, then when the book came out, that's how they used their name for the group. And the Infant Society was determined to set down its experience. So the Infant Society, their experience on what happened, what they did, and what they're like now, was reached to public in 1939, and they had recoveries. Remember, they had the stories written. And the book was called AA, and the fellowship took its name from that. And then the spiritual ideas of the society were codified first time in the 12 steps. And then the application of these steps to the alcoholic dilemma was made clear to the person reading the book. Notice you have to apply the steps to get the results. Studying the big book won't do you any good if you don't do the directions in it. And then they had the stories, and they say the book Alcoholics Anonymous became the basic text of the fellowship. Now, a textbook is somebody's understanding of a topic put into print so that when you read it, you will gain the knowledge that they gain. So if I'm going to study algebra, somebody's going to write a book of their knowledge of algebra, and then I'm going to read it, and then I'll have my knowledge. And so that was the purpose of the big book. It's a textbook. It's a how you do certain things. And this is not a textbook. This is essays and observations, and it's all different thing. It's a philosophical thing. This is a philosophical view of the steps, and it's very good. This present volume proposes to broaden and deepen the understanding of the steps. And then they talk about how AA expanded and how it proved that people could recover. But then over time, there was a lot of problems on who should be members of AA or not. And so that's where the traditions took form. And here it says it was first published in 1946. Later confirmed that AA's first international convention was in 1950. That's where Dr. Bob spoke for the last time. He was dying of pancreas cancer, but he did go and speak, and he said, keep it simple. Don't screw it up. And it was hoped that this volume will afford all readers a close-up view of the principles and forces which have made AA what it is. And then I wrote here that they have traditions. We don't have rules. We have traditions. And a tradition is different. It's an observation of what works, what's the tradition of the group. And then I think I'm just going to read the first paragraph to give you a flavor of this, and then we'll pick up on Saturday. Is that okay? It says, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Now, the big book spends a lot of time telling you what makes you an alcoholic. And then it says, the first step in recovery, we learned we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholic, page 33 or so, beginning of more about alcoholism, right? We learned we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that I'm an alcoholic. This is the first step in recovery, not the first step. You can't be powerless over alcohol until you learn and fully concede yourself that you're an alcoholic. See, the first step in the 12 steps doesn't say I'm an alcoholic. You're already an alcoholic. You're going to admit you're powerless over alcohol. Now, a lot of people are alcoholics and never admit that they're powerless over alcohol. Well, how can they do that? That's crazy, isn't it? But no, that's what we do. I'm not powerless. I still have a plan. I'll figure this out, you know. And we had to admit that we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Now there's a hyphen there. You see that? And there's a famous speaker. I can't remember his name now. I'm getting old. But he said, alcoholics die on the hyphen. And what he meant by that was that a lot of alcoholics know that they can't drink, right? They know it's bad. And they know that if I drink, I'm going to get drunk, and then bad things are going to happen. But they can't see that their lives are unmanageable by me, not you. Now, when I came in, my life was unmanageable because of them. Did anybody have them when they came in? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we had a whole list. I call it the execution list, you know. These people just, you know, please, get rid of them. But I'm being really silly tonight, but I'm having fun. But my life was unmanageable, and what they're talking about here is not after you drink. That's what a lot of people don't realize. They're talking about sober. Because if my life was manageable sober, I wouldn't keep going to the liquor store and doing something I didn't want to do to relieve my unmanageable life. So an unmanageable life and the relationship to alcohol is that when your life is unmanageable, if you're an alcoholic, you're in big trouble because you're going to get a drink or drug. Now, if you're a normal person, you have an unmanageable life, you're just miserable and the people around you are miserable, which is fine. But for us, we drink and we use, and then our lives get worse physically, mentally. We deteriorate. Do you see it? And so unless you can treat the spiritual malady, which makes your life unmanageable, you're never going to not drink and use. And then the first line is here, who cares to admit complete defeat? Now, the thing here is you admit your powerless over alcohol, but you have to admit complete defeat over trying to manage your life and trying to manage your drinking. And until you admit complete defeat, not some defeat, you know, not like I had a bad game, but I'm going to play next week. You know, alcoholics are like that. Boy, Sunday was a bad game. I really got beaten bad, but I'll do better next week. But no, it's not going to happen. Complete defeat. And so I'm going to end there, and you'll see how it starts. This step one, these four pages, is really about being beaten down to a state of humility to where you will accept help and do step two. Does this make sense? Because until you're completely beaten down, nothing's going to change. And it has to be 100% powerless, right? And remember, we had the lady that she says, you know, I'm 90% powerless. I said, well, that's great. You know, I was a cancer doctor. I'll leave 10% of your cancer in. Let's just see how that works out for you. So I said, you have to be 100%. So the next week, she said she's 95. And then I've never seen her again. So you have to admit you're completely powerless. Step one has to be taken 100%. And we have to do it every day, right? Okay, I'm done. Thank you.